from the Command Center, Episode 3. Collaboration between the Pop Culture Network and Geekcast Radio Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast, Episode 3. I'm Scotty Cash. Joining me from GCRN is TFG1 Mike. What's up, bud?
What's going on?
Today we're going to cover Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie.
Yes, and I have to say, before we go any further, I know that this podcast is fairly young. We only have three or so actual episodes in as far as our what our actual content is going to be. And I originally covered MMPR the movie back in Movie Week in Review, another one of our podcasts, that is episode 67. At the time, I didn't even have the inkling of the idea of doing this. I don't even think at that time you had even started FTCC, the video version, up yet. So it's like...
When did you do the podcast?
Oh, man. Let me look it up here, actually.
Was it last year?
I think it was end of last year, beginning of this. I don't know. Let me just look it up really quick. Oh, man. So what's been going on with you?
Not much. I think I started from the command center in August or something like that.
Yeah. What's been going on with you?
Nothing really.
Nothing really?
Nope. To be honest.
Yeah, we did this October 30th of 2010, originally.
So from the command center had already been started.
Well, yeah, I guess at the time I wasn't even thinking about it, but it's all right. It's cool. It's been enough time. Enough time has passed that, you know, I didn't even go back and listen to that MWire episode to see what the hell I even said about the movie, but, yeah, here we are now. I mean, I know I love the movie, but So basically how this one's gonna work is, Spaded isn't gonna do a Sentai thing since there is no Sentai stuff to go off of. This is a purely Americanized production for the most part. We're gonna talk about, general memories, characters, cast, all that stuff, plot, so. The basic overview here is that Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, a movie, 1995 American action film based on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, a Fox Kids, the first series in the Power Rangers franchise, featured the characters and actors from the series itself and used the Zords and Ninja Sentai Kaku Ranger. I don't know. It was produced by Saban Entertainment and released by 20th Century Fox on June 30th, 1995. It's filmed in Sydney, Australia. It ultimately grossed around 38 million bucks theatrically in the U.S. and 66 million worldwide, making it a financial success. So, like, when you first heard about this in 95, what was your first thought?
I couldn't wait. The first time I heard about it, a kid on the bus told me about it, and I was like, get out of here, because that was before, I don't know how he knew, maybe like News Weekly or something, because there was no commercials for it or anything, so it was like, hey, they had a Power Ranger movie coming out, like, this summer, and I was like, man, I cannot wait, I just couldn't wait. So, me and my best friend, Jaren, ended up going and seeing it the Friday it came out at our local mall or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, it was amazing. I've seen it like three times in like 2 week time period. I had to take one of my other buddies, wanted to go, and my mom was always down for driving her son to the movie. So I'd go, Mom, you know, let's go pick up so and so. We gotta go see this movie. Okay. So, what about you? Did you see it in theaters?
I'm trying to remember. I don't think so.
I was a freshman.
I was 15 at the time, so I don't think so. I think, God, I can't even remember now. Ugh, I'm getting too old for this shit. I don't think I did. I don't remember if I did or not. What I really remember is when the video cassette came out.
Oh yeah.
Because it's not just Disney, but Disney used those plastic encased shells for mm-hmm. video cassettes. And I know this is not Disney, this is 20th Century Fox, but Disney is where I remember those the most, those encapsulated cassette cases. You know what I'm talking about, with the white edge. Yep. Yeah. I remember this came out and I was like, I have to have this VHS. I have to have it.
It was pretty awesome.
Oh, man. It was so awesome.
Did you guys have that channel? It was called The Box, and what it was like music videos.
I think we did. I don't remember.
Well, there was a song on the Power Rangers movie. We're in trouble.
Yeah, Shampoo's Trouble.
Yep, they had the music video on The Box. So I got my VHS, my little recorder out, and I ordered it through The Box. It was like $3 for the song, and I recorded the music video and watched it probably, I don't know, 100 times, because it had like Power Ranger footage in it.
And yeah.
I was just geeking out to the whole, you know, the whole deal. So it was juiced, man. I loved it. I had a good time in 95.
I remember in 95 when this, you know, was first talked about, this first came out, I remember hearing an interview on the Fox Kids Countdown with Christopher Leary, with Chris Leary. He was talking with each week he would, each week leading up to the theatrical release of the film, he would talk to a different actor from the film. So I believe he talked to Jason David Frank. I believe he talked with Amy Jo Johnson. I believe he talked with Blake Foster. I remember he talked with Blake Foster.
Blake Foster?
Yeah.
Why was Blake Foster talked to? Isn't Blake Foster from RPM?
No, Blake Foster was Justin, dude. Wasn't
Justin,
he?
Justin wasn't in this movie.
Oh, wait a second. I'm thinking of the Turbo one. Oops.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Turbo.
No, that's a couple episodes. I'm jumping ahead of myself. But anyway, I remember him talking to all of the different actors on the Fox Kids Countdown at the time, because that was the biggest thing back in the 90s was everybody wanted to compete with Casey Kasem's Top 40 or Top 20 or Top 10 or whatever Casey was calling it at the time. Everybody had to have their own countdown show on the radio. And they had the Fox Kids Countdown, which is kind of like what Radio Disney is today, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I remember getting this and I remember watching it, and the first thing that I went out and did, as soon as I saw that one final blow to that last monster, I was like, yep, I'm getting that toy. And the first thing I did was I went out and I bought the Falcon Zord. But as a 15-year-old kid, I ended up being disappointed because it couldn't do the move that I saw in the movie. I'm like, oh, give me a break.
Which one were you talking about, where his wings came together?
Yep. I mean, it the toy kind of could do it, but it didn't really look like it looked in the movie, and it wasn't
right.
It was kind of like one of those disappointing things. It's like, what?
I love the freaking toys.
Yeah,
in the movie it's all like CGI or like computer animated, and they're all bright and colorful and beautiful, and yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. So, I mean, we basically, like for the Power Rangers, we basically have the same people. I mean, it's Jason David Frank, Steve Cardenas, Johnny Youngbosch, David Yost, Karen Ashley, Amy Jo Johnson, you know, it's Tommy, Rocky, Billy, Adam, Kimberly, Aisha, and all them. So, I mean, there really isn't much of a character difference for the actual Power Rangers. Where it changes is the actor for Zordon, and the voice for Zordon, which I hated the voice for Zordon in this.
I don't think I cared.
I knew it was different. Even back then, I knew it was different, and I just didn't really
wonder why they did that.
It's the same thing as why they would do something for, say, one of the Transformers live-action movie, whatever, you know, big name they could have gotten. You know, that type of thing. You know, you've got, I believe Richard Wood as the voice of Alpha, I think that was the same voice. And then you got Gabrielle Fitzpatrick as Dulcea, which we'll talk about a little bit later, and then Paul Schreier and Jason Harvey as Bulk and Skull.
And Fred.
And Fred. Fred Campbell, the Gold Ranger.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. Or Fred Hellman, yeah.
Yeah, they need to make that toy. Didn't somebody said that on somewhere. I can't remember where, but they needed to make the Was it on here? Did somebody say that on here?
They needed to make a Fred toy?
Yeah.
I think so. I don't know. Somewhere. I'm not sure. But the funny thing about Fred is though, and we'll get to this later in the podcast lifespan once we get towards Turbo. When Turbo was announced, Turbo the movie was announced, I was like, oh, okay, cool. We're going to see a Silver Ranger or something similar to that, or a Gold Ranger or something similar. And we're going to see this kid, Fred, back. But no, that's not what happened.
Huh.
And the same thing. I thought that at some point during the Gold Ranger days, when Trey came in and then transferred the powers to Jason, I thought that, okay, here's the Gold Ranger. Where's Fred? There's no Fred.
You wanted a Fred, didn't you? You're a Fred fan.
Well, no, I mean, I wasn't really like, but I mean, if someone says something in the movie of, you know, like, perfect example I can give you is at the end of the Simpsons movie. If you stay during the credits and Maggie says something about the sequel, you know, something similar to that. Somebody says something in a movie that hints at future events. You know, I expect those future events to happen. I don't know. It's a false sense of expectation is what I have for the most part. I did not know. I thought it was a completely different voice for Zed. I did not know it was Robert Axelrod in the movie because there was a deeper tone to the voice. I don't know if that was Robert that did it himself or if it was some sort of synthesized thing. It did not sound like Robert Axelrod to me as Lord Zed in this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they didn't really have enough parts for me to try to make a difference, but I always thought it was the same. Of course, I mean, thinking back, I thought it was the real Zordon, so.
Yeah. And of course, the big baddie in this, is Ivan Ooze. Oh, wow. Yep.
I loved Ivan Ooze, dude.
Yeah, I loved Ivan.
He was a great character.
Yep.
They actually, Mattel just sent us some Green Lantern, Movie Masters figures.
Uh-huh.
And Abin Sur, his face looks just like Ivan Ooze's face. So that's a custom just waiting to happen.
Yeah, the one thing I hated about the villains was Mordant. I was like, really?
Who's that? The pig?
The pig thing.
Yeah, that was kind of.
That was like. Like, what? Why would you try to combine Squatting Babu when you get Mordant? It's like, really? Oh, God. It would have just been better if they had, and I know this didn't happen yet, wait, no, Rito came in the second season, didn't he?
Yes.
It would have been better if they brought Rito in.
No, wait, no, Rito is season 3 because he's the one that destroyed the Thunder Jets.
That's right.
So he came in.
Yeah, afterwards. Right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. No, I just think that they could have used something different for a quote-unquote comical villain or just not have it all you know, there at all and just have Goldar there. Or you could have even have, well, unless she blew up in a previous season, I was going to say you could probably have had Scorpina there, you know, and have Scorpina and Goldar going at it, but I just didn't like Mordant whatsoever.
Well, the only problem with Scorpina is she's never been in an American episode. She's always been like footage.
That's right.
So they would have had to just get some random, you know, Chinese chick or been like, hey, come over here and do this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But.
Yeah. And because that they made these new Power Ranger suits that are 40 pounds each suit. Oh, my God.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Right here, I see that.
Let's see. Each of the Power Rangers' new movie costumes weighed 40 pounds, and the actors had to film sometimes as long as 10 hours a day in their Power Ranger uniforms, which, that's nuts.
I'd be like, boop, body double.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know, it's one of those things where that reminds me of, like, when I watched, like, I don't know if you ever watched it on A&E, that they were SWAT shows. They had Dallas SWAT, Detroit SWAT, all that stuff when A&E was doing that kind of thing. And they would always talk about having to put on like 40 pounds of police gear. And this is what that reminds me of, even though it's a completely different suit.
Yeah, wasn't Michael Keaton's Batman suit like 80 pounds or 60 pounds or something?
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, that's crazy, dude, that hard shell rubber type stuff. Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things where the movie's great. The basic overall plot is that, you know, it starts out with a charity skydive, which I absolutely love that Tommy was sky surfing.
Yeah, kind of. Somebody was sky surfing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in the close-ups, it was him.
Right.
And on the landing pad, that was him. But still, just to see that, you know, supposedly it was Tommy doing it, I thought that was so freaking cool. And at the time, you know, I think I was a freshman in high school or something. I had befriended a couple of seniors, and they're all talking about going skydiving, and I absolutely wanted to go skydiving when I was 15, 16 years old from seeing this movie.
Did you ever go?
Nope.
Why?
Never had the money. It was 150 bucks a pop. Skydiving's not cheap.
Is that classes and everything?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I would only assume that it would be more than that.
Oh, it probably is.
The thing about their suits was I don't really like the fact that, look, I understand it's a movie and it's different from the TV show, but I didn't like that. But all of a sudden they have new suits. They didn't, you know, I wish they would have started the movie in their television suits, you know, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the TV series costumes or whatever. And then when Ivanhoe's took their powers, you know, hurt Zordon or whatever, then when they got their new powers, that's when they had the new, you know, shiny outfits. Because, I mean, no doubt about it, they were badass. I mean, they were awesome.
Yeah.
But I just didn't like how it was just like, oh, it's Morphin time. We got these new suits. No one's ever said anything about it. No one's talking about it. You know, they're just new suits.
Well, that's because technically, and I hate to say this, but technically the movie exists outside of the TV series continuity. So it's a completely separate entity. That's why you wouldn't have seen any of the TV stuff in the film. I kind of like the suits. I was kind of weirded out by all the tech upgrades, like with Rocky and his scope and Aisha and her head beams or headlights or whatever. I was kind of just weirded out by that kind of stuff because it doesn't seem like a Power Rangers suit would have that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know? I mean, not just the TV series suits, but even these suits, it didn't seem logical to me for them to have that kind of stuff. Because, I mean, you know, and we're always going to compare this to the TV series, we just are. I mean, in the TV series, you know, whenever they had gadgets or something or tracking devices, it was always a little thing in their hand or something like that. And just having it built into the suit just kind of, I don't know, it's just strange to me. So, yeah, basically, you know, they're trying to raise awareness for this observatory. Is it Orion's Comet? I think that's what it was.
Well, I don't know if it was that or just a comet.
I think it was Orion's Comet. I could be wrong, but I think it was Orion's Comet. Something about a comet passing over in 3 days, and they're trying to, you know, raise awareness and you know, fundraise and all that stuff. The way Angel Grove looked in this, just, it looked cool, but for me, it was kind of off-putting because it's like, wow, you have all, like, the specific scene is like when they say, oh, hey guys, let's go get something to eat after they've taken the shortcut through the construction site, and they have this, like, really, really, you know, beautiful cityscape and this, you know, this sidewalk kind of thing, park type of thing that they're skating down, and it just, from everything I had seen from the TV series to that point, and again, I know this is the movie, it's different, you know, from everything I had seen of Angel Grove from the actual TV series, we never really, like, we saw them in, like, several locations in the TV series, like the juice bar, just outside the juice bar, but But we never saw anything as I guess the only way I can put it is pretty, in quotes, right. You know, air quotes, you know, pretty as this type of set. And I get it's a movie, they want it to look as good as possible. But it's like, really? This is Angel Grove? I mean, they make the town out to be like this, you know, really, really great utopian town.
They needed a cool rollerblade scene.
Yeah. So then, you know, they get called and they're like, oh, let's go over there. And they like skate off, like 5 feet away. And they morph to the command center. And I'm like, yeah. Really? How can some, I mean, it's like they just go behind the bush, you know, and they more, and it's like somebody can't just see you doing that? I mean, seriously. I don't know. So then they, I don't know, man, it's just one of those things where I'm looking at it, and I'm not looking at it right now as nostalgia, I'm looking at the actual plot and the plot points as a reviewer, and it just, it's not making any sense to me. And in late, next episode, next month, when we get to season 3, I'm going to bring up the same issues about the morphing, because sometimes they'll morph right in front of Bulk and Skull, or they'll teleport right in front of Bulk and Skull, and it's like, really? I don't know. So they go to the command center. Zordon tells them that, you know, Rita and Zed came down and freed Ivanhoe's, you know, galactic vile being 6,000 years ago, Zordon and a bunch of other teenagers. I don't even know if they had teenagers 6,000 years ago.
Yeah, they had dinosaurs, cavemen, and teenagers.
Oh, man. You know, and he's telling them how big and bad this guy is and everything else, and, you know, go to stop him. And I will give this movie one thing. Everybody always says how cheesy some lines are in films. Every single quote-unquote comedy bit, supposed cheesy moment, every single comedy bit in this, I laughed.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, it was just good. Even like Kimberly with, you know, her, you know, have a nice trip, see you next fall, and then she attacked one of the other ones and said, sit down.
Right.
You know, even Billy with his ooze you lose line. You know,
Hey, why did Kimberly get a cool like weapon thing and nobody else did?
The pterodactyl thunder whip or
yeah,
whatever.
She had like this giant like tongue thingy and everybody else is kind of just like, well, I didn't get one of those.
And then Tommy has Saba, yeah.
Yeah. Which was Saba didn't talk, so I was kinda, or did it talk? Yeah, I think it did talk, didn't it? Because then it went up there and went around the things. And
yeah, it talked to Tommy, but it didn't. Yeah, it talked to Tommy, but it didn't. It didn't talk when it was doing the I-beam thingamajig. So basically, you got the Power Rangers going to investigate the construction site where the construction workers, you know, unearthed Ivanhoe's, and. You know, you've got this construction worker that's scratching the back of his head, and Kimberly's like, oh, have you seen this morphological being? Well, what's a morphological being? Oh, wait, did it look something like this? And just the effects on Ivan, oh my God.
Yeah,
the effects on Ivan were so
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, with the cheesy lines, but, you know, meet my kids and welcome to my nightmare. I just love that kind of stuff. It's so cool.
You're a cheesy line nerd.
Yeah, kind of.
There's nothing the matter with that.
So this fight scene here, what did you think of Power Rangers versus the Ooze Men?
Oh, I liked it just fine. I don't know, it's kind of like, you know, a little bit stronger putties, but they didn't, you know, zap away with Z's on their chest or anything. I don't know. That's exactly what they were just, you know, henchmen or putties or whatever.
Yeah, they were putties with dreadlocks.
Yeah, and they got to show off some of their acrobatic skills, so if somebody that was watching the movie didn't get to watch the show or never seen the show, they were probably kind of blown away by it, which is a good thing.
Yeah. I gotta say, this is, like, I remember back then and watching up to that point in season two, like to the point where, you know, Rocky, Adam, and Aisha take over. But I mean, on a TV series budget, they really don't get to shine as much. I got to tell you, this movie is really where I took a liking to Rocky and Adam as a team together.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because he's like, double whammy, double whammy. Uh-oh.
Yeah. When they hit their faces.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's
good stuff. Oh, my God. Oh, God. And I find it really, really funny when I, because I, well, I'll have to see if we can get him on the show, but I had talked to Johnny Youngbosch sometime last year, and in preparation for talking with him, because it was the first time I had talked to him, I rewatched the movie, and I was able to cut out of the movie everything else except Adam's lines, and I just laughed all the way through. Because Adam's lines are so hilarious.
Yeah, he has the best line in the movie when he's like, when he's all sad, he's like, I'm a frog.
Yeah.
And then that lady tries to lie and says, well, the prince was once a frog. And
yeah, like a frog that would turn into a handsome prince with a kiss or whatever, yeah.
Get that. I don't want a frog. I want to be a bear. The only thing I know about this movie that someone else might not know, I'm sure you know, because it was in one of those the Billy interviews, but Billy doesn't wear glasses in real life, and mm-hmm. he didn't want to wear glasses on the TV show. So when he got to film the movie, they were like, you know, Billy, where's your glasses? And he's like, oh, we're actually going to take them off next season anyway, so it doesn't matter. So they're like, oh, okay. So in season two, you had Billy with his glasses through the entire thing. And in the movie, they're gone. So when he shows up to do season three, he's like, yeah, I didn't use my glasses in the movies. So they're just like, oh, okay. So Billy didn't wear his glasses in the movie or season three.
And I think that's good, though, because it's a character development. Granted, it's probably, you know, a plot hole saying, you know, not saying why he's not wearing them. But, you know, it makes him look less like a geek. And I know a lot of us that do podcasting and a lot of us that are online now, we're all geeks about something. It doesn't matter what it is. You can be a sports geek, you could be a Power Rangers geek, you could be a Buffy the Vampire Slayer geek. We're all geeks nowadays in culture. But back then, you know, wearing glasses or having anything different, and this is really sad, you know, you were termed nerdy, geeky, whatever, and it was a derogatory comment towards people. Mm-hmm. And I think that with the character development of Billy and the way that his character had developed, regardless of what Yost had said about, you know, he doesn't wear glasses in real life, I think if they had found a way to explain it better in the movie or on the show as far as why he doesn't wear glasses within the fictional continuity, it would have been better, but I never really noticed it. I noticed the change, but it was like, oh, okay, he's not wearing glasses now. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's why they didn't, because it's just like, I don't know, it's like switched, like not wearing a jacket anymore or something, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, Clark Kent not wearing glasses at all anymore. It's kind of like, yeah, oh, wait, you look just like Superman.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't think little stuff like that doesn't really matter.
Yeah. So basically, Ivan comes back. He oozes his way into the command center. He picks on Alpha 5. He has this flute that destroys everything. And I know that they're going for comedy bits here, but this is the only time that really, really, I really didn't care for the cheesy stuff was, oh, all the things I've missed, the bubonic plague, the black plague, or whatever the hell he says, the Brady Bunch reunion. How the hell does a 6,000-year-old villain know about the friggin' Brady Bunch?
Hey, dude, everybody knows about the Brady Bunch, all right? Brady Bunch is worldwide, even when people are half dead and giant eggs under the ground. Brady Bunch rerun show. I love Lucy and Brady Bunch. No one misses it, dude.
And another thing, immediately after Ooze destroys Zordon in the command center, we cut to the battle scene still with them fighting, and they're still fighting, and Tommy does his, whatever it is, his I know what it was because I love the scene. I know exactly what it is. He does his bicycle sideways Liu Kang kick on the final, you know, ooze man, and it's like, okay, that was cool. Well, wait, the power is fading. So there was enough power for Tommy to bicycle kick the final villain, but as soon as, there's too much of a delay for me between mm-hmm. the time that ooze destroys Zordon and the time that the power dissipates. That's too much of a delay. Okay. If you unplug something, or if you like, I did this earlier today, and I do this every now and then. For some strange reason, in the apartment building that I live in the living room, the light switch is attached to the outlet on the wall here. So if you have the light switch on, you can have whatever is plugged into it turned on. If it's off, it's turned off. I accidentally hit that light switch today, and everything, my computer, everything fucked up, turned off immediately. No delay, it just immediately turned off. So that's my problem. You've got Ooze killing, well, didn't kill him, but eventually he would have. You've got Ooze destroying Zordon in the command center, and then like a 10-second delay, like a TV station 10-second delay, and then the power goes away. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think they were more worried about making sure that the kids were entertained then.
Oh, no, yeah, no, I get that. But again, I'm looking at this, like, I'm trying to dissect it here. That's why I'm just being, I'm not, like, I love the movie, I'm not trying to be negative about it, but just, like, some of the things just don't make any sense. So then, you know, we get, you know, they can't, so they get back to the command center, and, you know, Alpha basically tells them that Zordon is dying. There's only one thing that can save him, and it's on this distant planet known as Phaedos. And so they get there. Ooze goes up to the moon, puts Lord Zed and Rita in a snow globe.
you know, I wanted one of those so bad. I was like, dude, they gotta make that thing.
Did they ever make one?
No, I don't think so. When they made the 8-inch Ivan Ooze movie character, I was so hoping that he would come with like a little bitty
snow globe.
Yeah, that would have been so awesome.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
I would have bought a normal sized one. That would have been so awesome.
Oh yes, it would have. So they fly to this distant planet Phaedos to look for this, you know, golden power, some sort of mystical power, and Ooze makes these out of his own phlegm, these Tengu warriors. They are an improvement over the putties, I will say that.
Some of the giant crows.
Yeah.
I liked them, you know, because like at first they used them like they were kind of badass, and they were like, oh, you know, I don't know if we could take these guys on. And I know the TV show is different, but in the TV show, they're really badass. I mean, they were really kicking the crap out of them. They actually, like, scared them into the mountain to where they get their powers in the third season.
Yeah. So the Tengus show up, and everybody has to fight them. And, of course, you see this mysterious figure in the background, you know, kind of roaming around and just waiting to see what's going on. And
is pre-Eternia He-Man.
Don't even start.
I'm just saying, it could have been.
Don't even start. It's He-Man with a skirt. I so need to sell this figure. Oh, my God. Anyway, off topic. So I think the coolest thing about the Tengu scene was when one of them picked Kimberly up.
Yeah, try to carry her off.
Yeah, I thought that was really hilarious.
That so reminded me of The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, when yeah.
Who did they pick up? Was it the, was it Dorothy? I think, yeah, they picked up Dorothy and carried her away. I was like, oh, that's no fun. That's rude.
So this, you know, mysterious warrior shows up smacking these crows around like it's nobody's business. And then she takes her little staff thing there, splits it in half, and starts twirling it around, and it's making this weird whistling noise, and it makes the Tengu go away. She puts the staff back together. Rocky sticks his hand out to say thanks for the help, and she just smacks him.
Yeah.
If
you want to thank me, go back to wherever you came from.
Yeah.
Hey, here's some other information that I noticed about the movie. When she takes her staff apart,
mm-hmm.
it's like a normal staff. But when it shows her again, they're like nightsticks, like she has handles. And she's just like, zoo, zoo. And she's like, you know, because I'm like, how is she doing that so fast?
Yeah.
You know, because they're not drumsticks. So them things would be heavy to spin. But if you watch it again, just pay attention. Because when she undoes her staff, there is no handles.
But when she re-puts it together, there's handles. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So it takes... You know, I think Aisha says something about Zordon, and she's like, how do you know Zordon, blah, blah, blah. So everybody's friends again. And then she takes them on this mystical journey to find the ninja inside them, or the ninjetti, or whatever else. And
yep.
And I gotta say, I absolutely love the ninja costumes in this.
Yeah, you are a ninja, buddy.
Well,
you are a ninja fan. They looked awesome.
They looked so awesome. I wish they would have fought more with the, like, I wish the movie had allowed enough time to see them fight in the ninja suits from the movie. Were the ninja suits in season 3 the same or no?
Oh, yeah. They were damn near close, and they fought a lot with the ninja suits.
Okay, yeah. See, that's why I'm gonna, like, obviously next month when we get to, season 3. I'm gonna have to really go back and watch, and cause I, like, back then when the movie came out and then season 3 came out, I pretty much denounced it. Like, the movie was it for me for MMPR. That was it as a kid. I was ready for it to end with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I never, like, as a kid, as a 15, 16 year old kid, I had stopped watching it. I had stopped watching Power Rangers. I didn't watch season 3. I had never seen the Ninjor thing. And everybody, you know, years later, everybody's talking about, oh, season 3, Ninjor, that's how they got their suits on the show. I'm like, no, that's not what the hell happened.
And that's what turned a lot of people off, because they go and they see the movie, and then they go back and they start watching the show, and they go,
yeah.
What? What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this happening like this?
So we get the scene with them around the campfire.
Which was an awesome scene.
Well, yeah. Actually, it's funny. When I was watching this back the other day, you know what the first thing I thought of when the fire kind of, like, ignites itself and kind of flames up a little bit, like the flame raises? The first thing I thought of was the blue flame and Splinter from the 1990 Turtles movie when they're all sitting around the campfire.
Yep.
I don't know why, but... So yeah, we get the ninja suits, which are very, very cool, and then Dulcea goes around and tells them their purpose and gets to Adam. And you know, before she even says anything, because Adam actually, I mean, all of them look down at their emblems, but Adam looks down at it and he just looks up, and you don't even have to see, like, cause their faces are still covered up by the masks and all that stuff, cause they haven't taken the hoods off yet, I don't think. You can just tell that Adam is, and I'm wrong, they did take the hoods off at this point,
yeah,
but you can just tell. You could just tell Adam looked down and he's like, fuck this. He's like, I'm a frog.
Right. I would try to trade. Like, can I trade Aisha for the bear or something? I'll give somebody my frog and $20 for their Zord.
So, you know, she's like, okay, well, here's your powers. Take some time. You know, we've got several, you know, hours before dawn or sunset. Actually, no, it was, I don't know. The timing is so weird in this scene because it shows them at night getting the symbols and her doing her whole thing. And then it shows Tommy and Kimberly looking at the sun, where it's supposedly setting, but when they find out that Dulcea can't leave the plateau or else she'll...
Well, I think the sun was rising, not setting.
I don't know, because it was pretty dark when... It had to have been setting, because they went through the jungle, and it was still out. By the time they got to the monolith, it was still out, but by the time they defeated the big baddies, it was dark again.
Huh.
So maybe time on Phaedos goes faster than it does on Earth? I don't know.
Yeah. Someone put a code in, like on Grand Theft Auto, where it just speeds up time.
Wow. That's nuts. So, you know, the whole jungle trip to the monolith and, you know...
That was a pretty awesome fight scene too.
Yeah, Tommy riding the dino.
Yeah, I don't know why they never did. They didn't make, as far as I know, they never made those stone bad guys, those rock guys. They never made.
Oh,
those
they figures. Never made those as toys. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they did, man. I would like to have some of those.
Yeah, but before we get to that, you know, we've got this forest scene with the dinosaur bones and all
oh,
that.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And coming to life and. And, you know, you get Tommy who's riding it, and all of a sudden he sees the little, you know, mechanism supposedly, and he's like, oh, let me just pull this out here. Whoa! Because he falls off the damn thing because
yeah,
the damn
like
head
the, like
fell
a
off.
Neck, like a neck bone piece, but it was more like Looney Tunes, like where the coyote, like, runs off the cliff, and he has time to, like, look at you, and he's like, yikes. Because he grabs that, and he, like, holds it, and he goes, uh-oh. And
yeah.
They just did a really good job with this movie. I mean, I really do love it.
So then we get to the rock guys. We get to the monolith and, you know, Tommy walks up and touches the thing, turns around, and they're all looking at it, and they see it, and he doesn't. Like, Kimberly's like, oh, watch out! And you got these four, it's four of them, right? Or is it five?
Four.
It's four.
Two and two.
It's four of them. You got these four giant rock things, and they're all chasing the rangers around, and this is really where the lines come in, because, like, specifically, Adam and Rocky, you know, Adam specifically is like, what is it, pick on the frog day?
Right.
Oh, man. And just some of the moves that were executed, and I know that, I don't know, maybe you can tell me, I don't know, because I didn't do research on this. When they're fighting in the ninja suits, they're not morphed, okay? So we know that because they don't have any powers yet. But when they're just in the ninja suits, it is all of those actors doing that, right? It isn't people substituting for them.
I would assume that it is them because that's one of the reasons why, you know, they get picked because they have, you know, backgrounds like they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I would only assume that, yes, that was them. Because it sure does look like them in their faces and stuff, like... when it closes up and they're swinging from vine to vine, if they didn't do all of their stunts, they sure did a lot of them.
Yeah. I remember the one stunt with Rocky and his close shave.
Oh, yeah. What's he say?
He says something about, boy, that was close or something like that. I forget what the actual line is, but the point of the scene was he's getting chased by one of the rock guys, and he jumps up and does like a split because the rock guy is going to throw something right at his crotch, and he jumps up,
right.
Does the split, and the weapon that the rock guy had hits the wall, and it's like right between his legs. He's like, oh, that was close.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And then, this is where because I always used to get them mixed up. I always used to get the Liu Kang bicycle kick thing that Tommy did at the beginning and this one, mixed up. But, you know, they go through, oh, they're big and strong, but they're not too smart, blah, 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 blah. And they set up this whole vine thing where, and it's weird because the vine thing to me, it's like, where's Adam and Rocky in this? Where's Adam, Rocky, and Aisha? Like, I know Aisha got trapped in the little cave thing with all the bones and stuff, but, like, when they get to the scene with the vines, it's Billy, Tommy, and Kimberly. And you don't see the other three anywhere. And then the next thing you know, Tommy's doing his ninjetti corkscrew kick, eight ball in the corner pocket.
Yep.
Which is very cool. And then, you know, we get the monolith coming out, and... you know, the sacred animals and new Zords, new powers, new suits. They can teleport again. Is it just me, or is Tommy's suit a little different? Like, even within the scope of the movie, like the White Tiger suit earlier, I didn't think that the White Tiger vest was so, like, up on the uniform. Like, you know how you have the White Tiger vest that's it's gold and black and stuff, like, on his chest, and then, like, on his abdomen, it's white.
Right.
Like, with the White Falcon Zord, it's like that. It's on him, it's like a super small, tiny vest piece, and then it shows the white. But I don't remember the White Tiger suit being like that earlier in the movie.
No, it wasn't. I mean, they're just probably trying to switch it up a little bit for
Yeah. What do we think of the new, I mean, they're technically the same outfits, they're just different animal type things, but what do we think of the new uniforms?
You mean like from the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, they're the best uniforms that I've ever seen. I love the look like that, you know what I mean? It's just,
yeah.
I really enjoy their ninja outfits a ton, like, you know, as do you, but yeah. I mean, when they morph, I like their suits better.
And the whole little subplot here that I kind of left out of it, I kind of just focused on them taking the journey to get the power. Mm-hmm. It actually interswitches scenes between that and Ivan taking over the parents of Angel Grove and making them dig up the ectomorphican titans and all that and making them construct them and all that. And by the time that the Power Rangers get the new powers and they go back, the Titans are out and doing their destructive stuff, and I love because the Titans are already there and they're already big. You don't have to like fight a miniaturized version, and they're like, "Oh, we got new Ninja Zords, let's use them." Yeah. And it just immediately cuts the Zords, and just amazing. Although I don't know how a wolf, a bear, and an ape will fly, but again, that's just me nitpicking.
Yeah, that is definitely nitpicking.
Well, I mean, it's...
Look, if you want to nitpick, how about this? Okay, so you meet Zordon for the first time ever, and he apparently already knows about this temple. So instead of fighting all these bad guys with your first Megazords and your Thunder Zords, why not just go, you know what, let's just squash all this, go get the Ninja Zords, and we'll skip right to Season 3. You know what I mean? If you want to get nitpicked, because he already knows about this power in this temple. So they should be like, you know, why didn't you tell us about this a long time ago? You know, Tommy wouldn't have lost his powers. But
no, Tommy would have lost his powers anyway in the TV show. That was a plot point in the TV show. So, but I do see what you're saying as far as nitpick. But the new Zords look amazing.
Yeah.
The Megazord looks. Okay.
He's off proportioned. He's not proportioned right.
Yeah.
He could be a little bit thicker, like the legs are a little small and his head looks like, I don't know, like he looks like a turtle poking his head out of like a big shell or something. Just looks a little weird.
Yeah. The individual Zords I absolutely love. I love the Wolf Zord. Hey Adam, that Frog Zord's badass if it has an electrocuting tongue. That's bad. That's awesome right there. The Falcon Zord. I love the Falcon Zord. So awesome. But the Megazord itself, yeah, it's so disproportioned. And the Power Sword for this Megazord, oh my god.
It was huge.
It was huge, but it was like paper thin.
Yeah, and then, well, he used, that was Ivan Ooze used the light post, right?
Yeah, he used the light post. And he basically destroyed the Power Sword with a light post.
it was a strong light post.
Apparently so. So while all this battling is going on, you've got Fred going to the party, because all the kids are just partying because, no parents, let's party. You know, and he's like, well, our parents are in danger. They're going to be, you know, sent to their doom, blah, 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 blah. We have to go save them. And, you know, well, I applaud Fred for standing up for that and doing that. I know Bulk and Skull aren't the most mature people in the world, but seriously, they could have said something in there with Fred of like, yeah, we gotta go do this or something or other. Cause I didn't even notice this before. Like, every single time I've watched this movie, I've never noticed it until I watched it this last time. I never noticed that Bulk and Skull are on the monorail with the kids. I never noticed that. I had seen them at the party with the kids, but I never noticed that they got on the monorail with them.
Yeah, you can't have a movie without Bulk and Skull, dude.
Oh, I know. It's not much supervision, but at least it's something.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm going to dissect and nitpick because that's just what I'm doing here. So when Tommy's Falcon Zord gets hit and he's got, you know, a fire on one of the wings and he says, oh, I gotta bug out for a little while. What actually happens to Tommy's Falcon Zord? Does he go fly somewhere, land it, and repair it himself?
Maybe he just speeds up and put the fire out. He just goes into sonic boom mode, so, you know, it just puts the fire out itself.
Oh, my God. I love Aisha's line. So you want to boogie with the bear?
Yeah, and then knees him in the nuts or something like that.
Yeah. No, that's later. That's the Ivan line when she goes, desperate times call. She goes, taking care of business. Because Kimberly asks her what she's doing, but that's when they're in space. But no, this is when the Zords first, you know, came down and they were first in them, blah, blah, blah. She stands up on her hind bare legs and she's like, oh, time to boogie with the bear. And one of the ectomorphic titans just slaps the bear and it goes like flying 3 feet.
Flying into the building. No, yeah. It was flying into the building, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Adam's line, tongue-tied and twisted.
Did you write all those down, or are you just
remembering? No, I'm just remembering it because I just love the way that the Frog Zord was. I've seen it so many times that I'm just sitting here talking. I'm not even looking at anything. I'm just because I just can remember this. So I don't know. I just sometimes I have a photographic memory when it comes to this crap. I don't know why. I remember some weird stuff. No, serious. Like my mind, like I can remember every single phone number I've ever had. I can, you know, it's like somebody tells me a number, as long as I memorize it, like for maybe 5 minutes, I'll remember it forever. But it, I don't know, my brain works in really, really weird ways. But anyway, so, you know, they do the Ninja Megazord combination thing, and I kind of liked how it combined. I didn't really like the result. And then Tommy's like, oh, I gotta go help the kids, because Ooze destroyed part of the monorail track. I don't see how putting a Falcon there...
Well, you remember what he did, right?
Yeah, he landed right in the middle of it.
Right, so it could fly, kind of like Superman did many times in different episodes and comics and stuff, where his body now becomes the monorail so the train doesn't crash.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was cool, but I still thought it was really, really weird.
Boy, I could just imagine sitting you at this movie with you at the age of 15 just going, well, that didn't make any sense.
No, but okay, but you gotta understand though, like right now I'm looking at it as a 31-year-old guy.
Right.
And I'm not, like, that's the point of me doing, like for me, when I do podcasts, I analyze everything to death. Because I wanna get it all out there. I love this movie. I can watch this movie for sheer enjoyment. I don't, like when I watch it and I'm not reviewing it, I watch it for sheer enjoyment and the plot holes be damned. But when I have to review something, I'm going to point out every single plot hole and every single issue I see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once we get to Mystic Force, oh God, don't get me started. Ugh. So yeah, and, you know, Ooze is basically ripping them apart and they got to figure something out and Kimberly's like, Tommy, get your butt down here, blah, blah, blah. So it becomes the Ninja Mega Falcon Zord, or Ninja Falcon Megazord, or whatever it's called.
Ninja Mega Falcon Zord.
There you go. And Billy's like, oh, Orion's Comet, let's go into space.
Yeah. He's got an idea.
Yeah. And so they go in, you know, Ivan follows them into space, they get him in the Comet's trajectory, and that's when Aisha was like, oh, desperate times call, you know, I'm taking care of business or whatever, and she kicks Ivan in the nuts, and they fly off. Ivan goes boom, the day is saved, they go back, and they see the dead body of Zordon, which looked really weird outside of his capsule.
Yeah, he looked like something from that movie Cocoon.
Yeah.
Where the old people jumped in the water. Remember, you ever seen that movie?
Yep.
Yeah. Weird movie.
Yeah, it is. And they're like, oh, well, no, we were taught that for Ningeni, anything is possible, so... And I'm sorry, but the first time I saw this, like, recently, when I saw them, you know, raise their hands, I'm like, kumbaya! Oh, God.
They did it, though. They proved you wrong. You didn't think they could do it, and they did it.
Oh, I know they could have done it. I didn't say that they didn't do it.
I can't remember, did... They did it on purpose, right? It wasn't like they were just sitting there and it happened. It wasn't like a tear rolled off a cheek or something, right?
No. Yeah, no. They all stood around in a half circle or a circle. They
That's right.
All raised their hands.
Closed their eyes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then all their, like, I think all their Zords and stuff was, like, circling, right?
Yeah, all the mystical energy circled and it surged, and all of a sudden you see a fast rewind. Who the hell sees a fast rewind anymore? You see a fast rewind of all the command center parts not being destroyed. It's going back to what it is. And then you see, like, this huge power surge in the center of Zordon's chest where it swirls around and it goes poof! And then you see the globe come down and, you know, everybody's like, Zordon, Rangers, it's good to see you again.
Dude, Ningeti power is powerful stuff, dude.
Yeah, it is. You don't want to mess with no Ningeti.
It's like crystal meth, dude. It's just real strong.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. I can't believe you just compared Ningeti power to drugs. Oh,
God. Same exact thing.
Oh, my God. So, the final scene is at this club, and you see fireworks. We have the scene with Fred saying he wants to be... the Silver Ranger, no, the Gold Ranger. And then Tommy's like, oh, well, you put your mind to it, anything's possible. Because that's Tommy's shtick. And which is true. I mean, you know, that is good advice. You know, if, you know, you put your mind to it, you can do anything you want to do. And then you see the fireworks with, thank you, Power Rangers. And Vulcan's going like, Power Rangers? No, Vulcan Skull, what the hell?
Yeah. We did it. We saved the day.
And the movie ends. Oh, my God.
you forgot to say that they saved the parents with the giant truck.
The giant water cannon.
They thank God that giant water cannon was just happened to be sitting down there.
Yep.
Because there's giant water cannons sitting all over construction sites.
Yeah. And then... Before the credits start rolling, but then it cuts to a cutscene where Goldar, ruler of the world, and then
that's right, yep.
Yeah, and then Rita and Zed walk in, he's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And then that stupid song starts up, uh-oh, we're in trouble.
You don't like that song?
One of the reasons why I may not like any song... I mean, I don't listen to much radio anymore because I just buy the music that I want to listen to. But back then, if a radio station overplayed a song so much, and it was a song I didn't really care for in the beginning, just hearing it one time, I just could not stand it. And that Trouble song was just, gah.
That song was on the radio?
Yeah.
I never heard that song on the radio here.
Really?
Yeah, this song was definitely not on the radio here.
See, again, I think it was leading up to the movie where I had heard it on the Fox Kids Countdown a couple of times back in the day.
Hmm.
So I think that's why I had heard it on the radio. But, I don't know, I'm actually failing here. Let's move on to the music segment, and I'll edit that point out. The soundtrack for this is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I had it and still have it.
Yep.
Yeah. Free Ride's on there, which is awesome.
Yep.
A great song.
Free Ride, one of the main reasons why I love that first battle with the Ooze-Men, Devo. For Christ's sake, Devo, are you ready? I love that song. That was so cool.
How's that song go? Is that the action boy now?
Yeah, action boy, action girl now, yeah.
Yep. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you got Snaps, The Power, Fun Tomas, Kung Fu Dancing, Van Halen's Dreams, which is the song that ended the movie.
Go-Go Power Rangers.
Yeah, the Power Rangers Orchestra, Go-Go Power Rangers, which is very cool. I did not know that this was a Graham Revell score. Because I looked this up in iTunes. You can get both the soundtrack, which is what this is here that we have listed, and you can get the actual movie score through iTunes as well. So it's two different things. The score is all the instrumental stuff from the movie. Awesome. I did not know Graham Revell had done that. That was so cool because he's done a lot of different cool stuff. He did the score for Daredevil, the 2003 Daredevil movie. He's just a really, really good composer. I can't believe they didn't have Ron Wasserman on this at all. I mean, I know it's the movie, it's not the TV show, but I can't believe they didn't even have him anywhere near this.
Yeah, well, that's normally how it works.
Mm, sure.
You know, you got your team, they got their team.
Yep.
Rarely ever are they going to bring somebody over, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. What was one of your... If you had to pick a favorite song from the movie, what would it be?
Well, Free Ride's a great song anyway.
Yeah.
But I love Shampoo, Trouble.
God.
Dude, I played that freaking VHS tape from the box, I don't know, probably 100 times.
It's such bubblegum type pop music.
Oh, no doubt, dude, no doubt.
I can't get into it.
I'm download that as soon as I get off the phone.
Oh my god.
Or off the Skype, I should say.
As far as the legacy segment, I actually had to write this in here because it didn't list it on Wikipedia, but obviously the movie's available on DVD now. It's also available on VHS.
I have both of them.
Yes. So I think we're going to head to some ads, and we're going to come back with final thoughts, and that'll be that. Are you ready? From the Geekcast Radio Network. Emerging from the dark humor that was the Beast Unleashed podcast, Steve Megatron, TFGO and Mike, and Pecan Court Michael move on to Transformers Animated, coming June 26, 2011, Transformation Animation Podcast. 15 podcast episodes covering all three seasons of Transformers Animated and the awesome toy line as well. We will also have cast and crew interviews, so get tapped this summer with the Geekcast Radio Network's next Transformers franchise podcast, Transformation Animation Podcast.
Decepticons, transform and rise up!
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Tooncast is dedicated to the cartoons we grew up with. 100 episodes and more make up one of the GCRN's most popular podcasts. Join hosts TFGO and Mike, Optimus Solo, Terror the Rising Star, and tons of guest hosts. We also have voice actor and writer interviews.
Tune in to Tooncast as we look back on the cartoons that defined us as geeks. You can find Tooncast on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Tune in. And here are some ads from our collaborators, the Pop Culture Network.
What it is, friends. Sween Hollick here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.PopCultureNetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to PopCultureNetwork.com and click on Store.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bates, and if you love toys, come check out my show, Not Mitten Box, every Tuesday on the Pop Culture Network.
Final thoughts from my good buddy, Mike.
I love this movie. In all seriousness, even though I know during the whole plot synopsis thing that I did there, which we kind of just went through each scene, even though I nitpicked at a lot of stuff, I do love this movie. I can, like, I remember a couple months ago, I don't know when it was. It was like a weekday morning. I don't know why. I had ABC Family on. And this started airing. And I was like, oh, cool, Power Rangers. And just like middle of the day, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning, I was like, oh, screw the internet. Turned over, you know, turned my chair to the TV because I had my TV on my desk. I'm like, oh, okay. And I sat there and I watched Power Rangers, the movie, on ABC Family at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Hell yeah, you did.
I mean, this is just one of those movies, regardless that it's like, I get that some people don't like Power Rangers. Gasp! You know, but, this is just one of those movies that if it just comes on, you can just watch it.
I agree. I've seen it. I mean, I watched it by myself, you know, at my early age a bajillion times. And now I have, when my 9-year-old was, you know, 4 or 5, she watched it a million times. And now I have Julia, you know, and, you know, finally she has stopped watching it. But yeah, she watched it a million times. So I've seen that movie probably more than anyone in the entire world.
Yeah.
I mean, I guarantee I've seen that movie 200 times. That's being, for, you know, serious. If anybody has kids, you know that as soon as the movie's over, you watch it again.
Oh yeah.
And again. And again, and then we have a DVD player in the car. So guess what we bring with us in the car? Power Rangers the movie.
Yep.
You know, right now her kick is Claudia with a Chance of Meatballs. So I could freaking tell you every single line in that movie too.
I mean, the movie was great for what it is. I mean, yes, I know it doesn't really count as part of the actual television series continuity, but it was really nice to see an updated version of the suits. It was nice to see, the Angel Grove fight later was at night and stuff, and the city was kind of destroyed, but it was kind of nice to see Angel Grove not being destroyed, like, as soon as you, you know, start the episode, or as soon as you start the... you know, the thing. So right. It was kind of nice to see what Angel Grove could look like if you didn't have monsters attacking from the moon. Overall, really, really great film, I thought. Even though there are, you know, if you look at it analytically, there are a bunch of issues. But, I mean, just nostalgia point, it was really, really great.
Right. Well, I mean, anything you look at, you can find something, a matter with.
Yep.
I mean, have you ever reviewed a movie where you were like, I didn't see anything wrong with this movie?
Transformers the movie, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, that's just because you're a Transformer. But if I went back and watched it, I could critique it and bring a bunch of points.
Oh, I could too. Yeah, I could too.
I think probably most, I guess the thing I like now most about this movie is it's 100% all of our footage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's done really well. It's not, we didn't take anything. You know, obviously still it's the same idea as Sentai, but it's still, you know, our storyline, our actors, our voiceovers, our animation, our CGI, it's all of our stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's, and I'm not trying to be like us versus them. It's just like, we can do it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But.
So what do you got coming up on the video version of From the Command Center?
One of the guys from the Pop Culture Network board is in Japan, and he's there with his wife for a while, and I had him send me some something called candy toys. And the first time I heard about these candy toys, I just pictured like crappy Pez toys. Cuz I was like, "Well, how much are they?" And he's like, "Oh, like 4 or 5 bucks." And I was like, "Yeah, that's junk." And then I seen like a review of some past candy toys, and they're amazing.
Yeah.
So I had him send me the Sentai set right now. Is that Gokaiger where they can transform into, you know, like past Zords and past Rangers and stuff. So he sent me a set of those, and I'm going to show those off.
Cool.
Hey, they call it candy toy for a reason. It came with like this little bitty like lemonade, like drop piece of candy. Man, that was amazing. That might be the best little piece of hard candy I ever had. I'm sure I got like nuclear waste inside of me now or whatever from all their disasters.
Oh no, we don't want to go too dark on that. On this, you know, I know you already have a pre-planned thing, and I should have mentioned this to you before we started this episode. But you should have done the next episode after this one for the podcast. For the video version, you should have done Ninja Mega Falcon Zord.
Yeah.
It's a tie-in.
I have done the Ninja action figure.
Yeah, just didn't do the Falcon Zord.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
So, thank you for joining us here on From the Command Center. There's always get in contact with us. Leave feedback for the show. Visit the network websites, geekcastradio.com and popculturenetwork.com. Join the forums over at Pop Culture Network and Geekcast Radio Network. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. I have been checking this. We are on iTunes now. We have no reviews yet. So hopefully once we get some more episodes under our belt, people will start leaving us reviews in iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at TFG1Mike. And you can follow Pop Culture Network over there. It's at Pop Culture Net. Become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network and PopCultureNetwork.com. PCN on YouTube is youtube.com/user/Mandalorian30, where you can find the award-winning From the Command Center video series done by Scotty himself.
Yay!
Yay! You can call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. For GCRN, call 502-526-5821. For PCN, call 217-953-4025. We hope you enjoyed this episode of From the Command Center, and we shall join us next time when we will be continuing Mighty Morphin Power Rangers with Season 3 and the Alien Rangers, which technically is a 10-episode break-off of... It's technically part of Season 3, but Wikipedia classifies it as a completely different series, but it's just a 10-episode arc within Season 3.
Well, yeah, well, Wikipedia can be changed randomly through anybody, too, so...
I know.
The Alien Rangers is just as much Season 3 as anything is.
Yep. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
Scotty Cash.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Wait, wait, wait! Ay, 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 ay! Zordon, what's that in the viewing globe?
What are we waiting for, Alpha? Oh, yeah, that's right. I mentioned in the outro there just now that you guys can leave us reviews in iTunes. You know, off air, Scotty and I were talking about numbers and all that stuff of who's listening to the show, and we do appreciate everyone who is listening. And I opened iTunes, and lo and behold, we have our first review.
All right.
From iTunes. Basically, the title is From the Command Center. It's a 5-star review by DRC2000TVTV. It was left on April 18th, 2011. Best Power Rangers show on iTunes. Scotty Cash is awesome as always. Great show from the Pop Culture Network and Geekcast Radio. P.S. Go Team Aisha.
Heck yeah.
So, thank you
TV knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, thank you to DRC2000TVTV. Very awesome that you left us a review. Very, very cool. So, again, I normally post these on Geek... Obviously, they post on Geekcast Radio, and then Pixel Dan will post them on PCN. I also post the Geekcast Radio link in the PCN forum thread. So if you guys... obviously, people are listening, so keep leaving us iTunes reviews and keep rating the show, and, you know, we'll continue to do our best to give you guys really, really cool Power Ranger episodes.